Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
It is. You are Charlie Baker.
I can vouch for you then.
I apologise.
And
we were with you this afternoon. We were joined by Guy Garvey, singer-songwriter of Elbow.
Yeah.
He was on great form, wasn't
really
he?
Really good. A really great new album as well.
Very
really,
good album.
And wouldn't just normally just say that, but no, it really is good. It. Yeah, yeah.
So he was on good form, Guy. We spoke to David Earl and John Beer from the My New Football Club podcast.
Yeah.
As you'll hear, it did degenerate because the idea was for Charlie to promote his club, who are in a bit of a fix at the moment, Torquay United, and entice fans of other West Country clubs to go to Plainmoor to get behind them tomorrow on non-league day. Didn't quite work out as we'd hoped. We had a bit of a chat.
Yeah, we did, Paul.
And we also brought you the birthday spread.
We did indeed.
So that really should keep you more than
enough,
busy for the weekend. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul.
How the devil are you?
Very well, thanks. I've had a really, I think, successful week in my first week of designing the New England kit.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's gone very well for me,
Well, the way it works is this, Nike do all the groundwork and they give sort of Charlie a canvas.
Yeah.
And there's certain parameters. Ideally, you want it to be a bit of red, white and blue somewhere.
Yeah.
But within that...
They said, I'll tell you what, you just look after the collar.
It was, yeah.
And I think I've done a good job.
It was, well, you were just doing colouring in, weren't you?
I was messing about with it.
I think you sent the wrong file to them. You know when you were just messing about and freestyling?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that one went. Look, I've got to be honest, it doesn't vex me completely, but I just cannot believe. I mean, there's that old adage, isn't there? Don't go looking for trouble.
No.
So if you're at the FA, you're the person who signs that off at the FA, and the guy from Nike Design says, just thinking of tweaking some of the colours in the George Cross,
you'd
say, oh, mate, don't go looking for it. I don't need it. It's going to bring a world of pain down
do
on
that.
My shirt. It's just, but it's, it's design, dish mine, who cares? You know, it's the flag. It reminds me, it's a kind of design equivalent of Ozzy Osbourne weighing up against the side of the Alamo.
Yes.
You know what I mean? A lot of people are very upset about it on all different sorts of levels. A lot of ex-players, etc. We had Jamie O'Hara just then.
Yeah.
And you were saying they've played fast and loose with a Brazilian flag.
Yeah, they've done that. I think it's part of their design thing is they take the flags and they sort of turn them into as part
I'm just wondering,
of
if you just kind of messed and melded and stuck a bit of purple into the stars and stripes, how would that play in Oregon?
Yeah, sure.
With some people. Some people wouldn't care, which is much like this country, and think it's just a design, forget it. And other people would be very upset about it. Don't go looking for trouble.
Some people a lot of the time look for something to get upset about as well, though, Paul. You know.
Oh, yeah, but I know. But, again, why bring that down on yourself?
There's no need for it.
For something you could have easily said, no, sorry, mate. You can do whatever you like.
Exactly.
We can have a completely purple shirt if you like, but you're not messing with that.
We're going to speak to Mark Nelson a bit later on and Nish Kumar, and I'm sure they'll both have...
Yes,
their own views.
I'm sure
on
they
it.
Will. I don't know if messing with a saw tie, how that would play with Mark. No. We'll find out. Now, a couple of things to get you going on, Charlie. I saw this story today.
Oh yeah, what was
congratulations
that?
To the good people at Wetherspoons. The Sun tell us today they're flush with success after winning National Toilet Awards.
Oh, lovely!
Yeah,
I mean you can never find them, and they're always miles away. But once you get there,
they're often up a couple of flights of stairs, aren't they? The chain of budget boozers, the Sun tell us. Many in converted buildings. Beautiful converted buildings all around the country. Beautiful buildings.
Yeah, they do. And I tell you, actually, A lot of Wetherspoons are put in those buildings that would probably just left to rack
Grey
and ruin.
Old converted cinemas,
and they
government
keep,
buildings.
They keep them the same. A lot of the time, they look absolutely brilliant.
No, that's right. Anyway, the chain of budget boozers, many in converted buildings, were named best pubs and hotels. The toilets were singled out for special praise. Well done, the Rose in Saltern in Biddeford, down in Devon. West Country Corner.
No, West Country Corner.
And the Stargazer in Greenwich. I think I've been in there. Southeast London. Judges made unannounced visits, looked at decor, maintenance, cleanliness, and accessibility. It's been a bloke hanging around the bogs for about half an hour. What's going on? Imagine Securia have him out. Get a picture of him on CCTV.
Writing notes.
It did strike me, though. I mean, you do an awards, don't you?
Oh, I've done the odd awards.
Have you done the National Bog Awards?
No, I haven't actually, although I am available if they ever need me.
But it's just that moment when you say, okay, and it's just...
The winner is...
Best Toilet Brush 2000, cleanest Toilet Brush 2000 award goes to the Rose and Crown in Hull. Everybody, they're all punching the air.
All the ultras.
So is it a big night out for all the toilet cleaners in pubs across the country? I suppose if you're shortlisted, say the sort. The governor would go, wouldn't he? Mr. or Mrs. in charge of the pub.
They'll be there.
Maybe one of the staff.
Maybe.
You've got to take the person who cleans the toilets.
Of course.
What a night out for them.
Unbelievable night out.
It's fantastic, isn't
it? The thing is, these I know we sort of say that about
I was going to say, you, I know we poo-poo.
Having done
I know we poo-poo these awards, dude.
Having done a few of these, they are big nights for people. They are, you know, when I am presenting Best Farm Machinery of the Year, which I have done, you know, Best Farm Machinery Sales Person of the Year, you know, is a big thing for
those
people.
Of course it is. I'm not believing it.
But the Toilet Awards.
So, over the years, we'd love to know, have you been to the National Toilet Awards?
Yes.
We'd love some of the great awards dues you've been to.
Oh, yeah.
And what went on. Take us behind the scenes at the National Toilet Awards. And I wonder what the loo's like. The pressure at whatever hotel they do the National Toilet Awards.
You've
got a room full of people that judge this stuff.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I hadn't thought about that.
You'd have to be in there for hours, or she'd be in there for hours scrubbing away.
Scrubbing away, like really.
Got through four brushes. So that's
very
one
nice,
thing.
Very nice, lovely.
We'd love to know about the weird and wonderful awards, dudes, because the football writers, we were kicked out of the big room for the football writers one year because they had the National Sandwich Awards double booked. And I went down there, and they did that. They said, the winner, yes, once again, cheese and tomato. And then you see like the ham salad people turn the table over, and stuff.
Cheese and pickle in the corner. Oh, heard
best
the word cheese.
Best panini goes to. Oh, it's Giuseppe's once again in Glasgow.
Well done, Giuseppe's. Yeah. Congratulations.
So have you
to
been
you.
To any of those? We'd love
to
know.
Love those.
Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. 03717223344. And what went on backstage? A lovely picture today of Jurgen Klopp.
Oh.
He popped down.
In Devon, wasn't he?
He's gone down. I know the place he went to, I'm pleased to say.
Is he buying Torquay United?
That would be good.
Imagine that if Klopp was leaving Liverpool to take over at Torquay and buy the club.
He went down to Port Isaac, which has, of course, become
Doc
famous
Martin.
for Doc Martin.
Hello,
that's
Martin.
Right. And Jurgen went down there, and he ate at the Moat, which is a lovely little fish restaurant right on the Platte, right on where, you know, they launched the ships off of there.
Lovely,
and
they put,
I've been down, I've got a friend who's got a place there, and she kindly lent it to us a little while ago.
Yeah.
We went and stayed.
Oh.
And they have a little pop-up takeaway thing.
Oh, do they?
At the Moat, where you can buy some drinks, and you just go and sit down there by the waterfront. Lovely.
I love Doc Martin.
Should we get the train, Charlie? What are we doing here? What are we doing here, mate, really? We could be sitting down there on the Platte at Port Isaac having a nice glass of wine, having a beer. We're wasting our time, wasting everybody's time.
You're wasting your time.
But the reason I bring that up is that they've done a lovely picture, and I don't doubt for a minute they've got all the staff there at the moment.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
And there's Jurgen laughing away, they had a lovely meal there. And they'll probably put that up.
That'll be up.
Because often in restaurants and chippies, when you have the stars come in, they do put up the pictures. Mm-hmm. My local chippy and kebab house, because quite a few of the Tottenham and Arsenal boys sort of live in the big houses, houses near me.
Nearby.
And we had James Maddison in our one. They've got his picture in there. He was very nice to everybody.
Yeah.
But it's righty round. It was always a righty.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Sempre
righty. Of course,
Also, Jermaine Defoe. Jermaine's very nice when he pops in. You'll catch him in our local kebab house with a picture, indeed our local chippy.
Oh, very nice.
So, there was one where I used to live, George's. They had all the players up. I think righty probably spends a day just writing best wishes to blank fish bar. All the best Ian Wright.
Sends it out.
And then he just, and they can put their own name
How
in.
How many fish and chips has he eaten, Ian?
The Perfect Place, or whatever they call it.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So there was a place just.
The Town Fryer.
That's it, yeah. That's there was a restaurant just off of the Strand in London, a little Indian restaurant, heading up to where TGI Fridays used to be, heading up into Covent Garden. Its whole window was plastered. It was an Indian restaurant.
I remember
plastered
it.
Window. Mick
the whole
Jagger.
Of the West End was there.
George Hamilton the Fourth. I mean, a real scattergun lot of celebrities. And now pictures got quite weathered where they've been in the window.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We never got round to the vocals, did we? Rather long intro.
Oh, I wouldn't bother.
You weren't on that guy.
I actually think it goes downhill from the vocals.
Right, absolutely.
The words don't mean much.
No, it's all baby.
That's Blue from the new Elbow album that's come out today, Audio Vertical. Yeah. Guy Garvey makes a welcome return. Good afternoon,
hello,
Guy.
So lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you again.
Meeting.
Yeah, that's right. We're just saying Charlie was at National Youth Theatre with your missus, wasn't he? We've just been chatting off air.
Yeah.
The story about Chewy.
Yeah. She was in Othello with my wife and Chiwetel Ejiofor, the Hollywood actor.
Yes. And he had to fall on her already corpse on stage and he burped and she smelt bacon frazzles.
Imagine that moment, you're there and you've done this great scene of Shakespearean theatre and you're going, Bacon frazzles. Sterling, of course, is Guy's wife.
Yes.
The actress.
The album sounds brilliant.
Thank you very much.
I listened to it this morning. Paul, you've listened to it.
You've picked
a couple
of weeks. Charlie. Sonically, it does. Really. Yeah. It has got a great sound to it. It's a kind of big sound, isn't it?
It's our Craig. Our Craig's produced it again, and he's just getting better and better. He's a talented man, and he loves beats. You know, that's what he goes for. That's the kind of music he loves.
And yet it's got this real sort of garage rock band feel to it as well. You know, that you're some blokes who've got together and want to make music and want to make loud music, you know.
I mean, you start off shouting over drum kits and amplifiers, you know, all bands do. And then, I mean, it's about 20 years till we figured out that if you have to shout all the time, your body thinks you're angry. And that's why it kicked off as much as it did.
Yeah.
And then, like, we work different ways of working, so we keep it moving. And then this time, Al, our drummer, who's the new boy, he's only been with us for 7 years and four albums. But he said, "Can I come in a bit? Can I write?" And it was like, yeah. I mean, you know, not an automatic yes. We sort of scratched our chins a bit, but he came in and he brought with him such amazing energy.
When we talked about your last album when you were here, the Flying Dream one, a lot of that was kind of around COVID. So you said a lot of it you've been writing in silos and sending each other files and sending each other music.
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, when you made the album, you did get together. But this time, were you able to be sort of much more together and in the room, or did you still work a bit like that? Were you still sending each other stuff?
We started off together, so we went to a new studio in the Cotswolds called Migration, which is a fantastic place. The woman that owns the property, it's like a big old farm. She sells huge sculptures of elephants for exorbitant money, and then rescues elephants with the money.
Right.
So you've got these spectral herds of elephants all over the place.
But she doesn't mention them. They're the
There's just the one that she doesn't mention.
There's just that one that no one ever talks about. That's right, Just in the corner there.
Yeah.
Don't mention just...
And then this guy, Dickie, sort of, he undertook building this studio there. So it's got this fantastic homegrown vibe, but it's an amazing spot.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks there, time apart, Manchester, our spiritual home in Blueprint in Salford.
Yeah.
Did a bit there. Back to Migration for a couple of weeks. And then again, Manchester. So
it's... Where you recall now, does it shape the way it sounds? I remember years ago, Paul Weller saying that he was doing an album and they started off out in the country and he didn't like the sound of it. And in the end, they went back and to this place on Oxford Circus.
Mm.
And he said, suddenly the anger was back in all the playing because it was taking him ages to get a tube and there was just hundreds of people around. Yeah. It got on his nerve. I suppose it must do. It's like if you go off to make it in Nassau or Montserrat, it's going to have a different feel, isn't it, really?
Well, actually, interestingly, so... Al, our drummer, is a runner, and Pete, our bass player, is too. And bear in mind, this is the first time that Al's just bringing his ideas to the table. They went for a run every morning when we were in this place, which is, you know, disgustingly virtuous of them, you know what I mean?
It's not rock star, is it?
No. And they take off in different directions, but end up on the same route home.
Right.
And they ran home on this long road, straight into the studio, and proceeded to make what became Lover's Leap.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, which is like Afrobeat.
Yeah.
It's Pete's busiest bass line. He's absolutely bricking it about playing it live.
I thought that because it is quite tricky listening to it. I wondered if it was like a sort of sample thing, but he's all right,
no,
okay.
He's all over the fretboard there. Right. He's having to achieve zen-like states.
He's run for his own back, hasn't he?
He certainly has, yeah.
But you do all the lyrics, you do all the words.
Yeah.
Do you turn up with those? Do you have an idea for those and then say, this is the idea for the song, and they sit around you and suggest how melodically it's going to go, or how does it work?
I work a lot at home. I've got a writing room in the Dairy in Brixton, which is really handy, and I get to meet all the musicians. I work on trains a lot. There's something about trains. I had a conversation with Peter Gabriel about this. Clang.
And some of the album sounds very Peter Gabriel, actually. I
consider in a way that he taught me to sing, because it was singing along to Genesis and his solo records that, you know, shaped the way I phrase things, I think. And he's a good old friend these days. But yeah, I was once talking to him early days of our friendship, and I was like, he was like, how'd you get on with lyrics? And I was like, I find train journeys really helpful. And he was like, me too. And what he used to do was slightly disguise himself, get on a train around the country and stay in B&Bs and stuff.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, I think it's to do with, like, you've got your monastic table, you've got a little bit of people watching if you want it, but you've got the input of everything flying past. And he went, I think it's even more specific than that, guy. I think the foliage going past the windows is what it must have felt like to swing through the trees as a primate.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Peter. I think Simon Day would have loved that for the Thotch. For Brian Pern. Yeah. He would have loved that.
Do we think Michael Portillo's got a great album about to come out?
Yeah.
What he's doing on all the trains. Trousers.
As long as he's nowhere near government, I don't care what he does.
In one of the tracks, we see your workings out in the margin, don't we? And where is it? It's just a little short track where it's you guys in the studio off duty. And I think people now they've had the chance to see that in something like Get Back. Seeing someone's working now, even if it's the Beatles, it is great. It's great to sort of, because it's just you there, and the guys are playing a riff, and you're saying to your drummer, okay, what would you do with that? And asking the way you would approach it. So that's always interesting, that sort of
thing. I love the way you put it, working's out in the margin. It is that. It wasn't my decision to put that on. The lads sort of heard that and put it on the track. And, you know, you're not in the room 24/7, particularly as I've got to write the words. I'm often next door. And I came in and they're all quite comfortable with this snippet. And
they give it some big fat wheels. When the track kicks in, you go, oh no, that is big fat wheels.
Yeah. And it's nothing like any of my suggestions.
And a couple of very short tracks as well. It's interesting. That works at 38 seconds, or that works at a minute and 40 or whatever.
TikTok, innit? It's for TikTok.
Yeah, it's for the kids. It's for the kids. You've got no attention span.
The ADHD
can't be
generation.
Can't playing Supper's Ready anymore.
No, that's it, exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's how long it had to be. I think it was, I loved Mark's guitar riff. It just immediately felt nostalgic. And it's kind of borrowed from a W.B. Yeats poem. When you are old and full of sleep, take this down from the shelf and remember that one man loved the pilgrim's soul in you. Or something like that. I think I've paraphrased it badly. So it's kind of borrowing that sentiment. It's like, come and see me when we're old and we'll have a rewind. And then I thought, that's it. There's nothing else to add.
Yeah.
So the sentiments
doesn't bear being... You've said it.
Yeah.
Is it because Poker Face, that track's about a minute 42, has got a great kind of sing-along hook as well. So I could see it becoming much bigger.
Well, I'll be honest with you, it was a verse longer, but I was overruled.
Right, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's looking back on the end of a disastrous, hedonistic, toxic relationship. I've exaggerated everything for dramatic purposes. And there was a third verse about some kind of reconciliation on the street.
Yeah.
And the lads just said, no, I think we're done after two verses, Garth. I don't think we need that one.
Wow.
Yeah,
but when you ditch him after 33 years and go solo, we'll get the directors, we'll get the Ridley Scott version.
Yeah,
it's not a bad idea, actually.
I love a Good Blood Mexico City as well, which you say is a bit of a tribute to the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, so the first time we went to Mexico City, we played with the Foos and to 90,000 people.
Wow.
And we've been in touch with Dave Grohl before, because when Jupp left the group, we were casting around and thinking, why don't we do an album with well-known drummers on? And Dave said yes. Dave Grohl said yes. And Roger Taylor said yes. Yeah. And some other people. And then we met Al and we decided against it. But in any case, we've been in touch with him but never met. He gave me a great big rock hug when I met him. And I said, hey, listen, our new drummer Al is mad about Taylor. And he was like, brilliant. What's he look like? So I told him. And Taylor went straight over. Al Reeves gave him a cuddle. Wow. And they played they played drums together. And that tune felt a little bit early Foo Fighters to me when we were writing it. So it ended up being a kind of a little nod to a lovely man that left too early. And also a love letter to the kids in Mexico, because they've got great politics. They're really passionate and they're really open. They were making up sing-alongs to every tune we played, having never heard them before. They're more like a football crowd, actually.
It is a great elbow song, that, because the way it starts off with a riff that's almost a guitar riff that's quite sort of message in a bottle, and you wonder where this is going. Then the drums come in with your vocals, and it's like Freddie and the Dreamers drums. It's You Were Made for Me, initially. This whole sort of pop drum. And then, so this is the thing, there's a lot of influences in the band. There's a lot of Latin, as you said, there's Afro beat. That's been a kind of bit of a cornerstone of the band, isn't it?
It has. And as the years go on, everybody has more and more influences, of course. So it's like it all gets put in the pot. It all gets put in the gumbo.
Yeah.
And I love that element of it, you know.
And you're going out and playing them live, which I take you're looking forward to.
I can't wait. Mm. I mean, that's the other lovely thing about this record. As much as we all really love Flying Dream One, it was very difficult to place any of those songs in the set because they're so subtle.
Yeah.
But this is because this album's got lots of gnarly little bangers on it.
We can
pepper them throughout the set. So, yeah, we're going out in May. We're playing the O2 Arena.
Mm.
We're playing the brand new Co-op Arena in Manchester.
Oh, fantastic.
We're in Glasgow, in Nottingham, all over the place.
Yeah.
And please come. We need to fill some seats.
Fantastic.
What's your number? My son started a band. He's a very good drummer. The band called Cheap Suits. First thing seemed to be... The hardest thing seemed to be naming the band.
We didn't do that very well.
I think it's good. Well, the thing is, everything's a bad name until you're famous. They're called Cheap Suits.
That's a good name.
What's your best advice?
I keep saying
to them, just gig, but what do you say, Guy?
Nothing's more important than your friendship with each other. Stay on the same money or you're doomed. And make sure you have a laugh. It's much more important to be in a band with people you love than anything else.
And
if you're on the same money as well, then there's no creative axe to grind. You've not got people bringing ideas because they want a new conservatory.
Well, it's always lovely to see, and we know you wouldn't be on the old promotional roster without your manager, Phil Chadwick, who's a massive Manchester United fan and TalkSport listener, because it's not really your thing, sport, is it? You're not a massive sports fan. So
no, in contrast to my Olympian physique. Rugby actually a bit more these days.
Okay.
Certainly the Six Nations.
Okay.
And then the Potters were players. They loved the rugby, yeah.
Brilliant. Just quickly, we mentioned at the top your wife Rachel Stone. It kicks off on a new play tonight.
She does. She's at the Hampstead Theatre.
Right.
She's in a thing called The Divine Mrs. S, which is brilliant. It's like Blackadder or something. It's a really funny comedy about a real figure, a historical actress from the 1800s. So she gets you know, tied into a bodice every night. She looks quite racy.
Wow.
And then she goes to work.
And then she goes, yeah.
Oh, Charlie, you never lose it.
Never lose it, do you?
That's right.
Keep it coming.
But the tickets are all between 10 and 40 quid. It's unsubsidised theatre. And it's a hoot. So get down and see The Divine Mrs. S at Hampshire Theatre for the next month.
And buy Audio Vertigo and go and see Elbow on tour when they're around the country from May.
Oh, you lovely man.
Good to see you. Lovely to see you, Guy.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to meet you,
Guy. Guy Garvey. We'll play out with Lover's Leap.
Throw my body off the side, there to meet my waiting bride.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, just a reminder, of course, that it's non-league day tomorrow. And I know you want to talk specifically about Devon Day, which is part of that. Because if you've not been following the story, Charlie's club, Torquay United, not gone into administration yet, but the club is up for sale. These are tough times, Charlie.
Yeah, we've lost points like we're... We've lost 10 points like we're in administration.
Yeah.
So we are looking at a relegation.
Just by playing badly.
Currently a relegation battle at the moment.
Yeah.
Yes, we have been put up for sale, and there are certain people talking to the club at the moment, hopefully trying to buy them. But you never know, Paul. But we are, you know.
But you've been buoyed by the way that the sort of football family have come together, and that includes your rival clubs down in the West Country, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, all clubs. I've discussed this before. I wrote a column in the non-league paper about it. Is that when it all kicked off, this when it looked like we were going into administration, etc. When our old owner put us up into that situation, I was like, oh, here we go. The phone's going to buzz. I'm going to get all sorts of stuff on the text and that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but 9 out of 10 people have only been supportive.
That's good.
And I never used to believe in that thing, the football family, Paul, but I absolutely have had my mind changed on that. Yes, absolutely. But yes, even Exeter...
Even
Exeter City
and
fans
Argyle.
And Plymouth Argyle fans
have been nice to you.
They've even been nice about it. It's unbelievable, Paul.
Well, so Devon Day tomorrow is are you asking fans to come along to play more?
Well, tomorrow. Neither Plymouth Argyle or Exeter City are playing tomorrow. And so there is a special deal that Plymouth fans and Exeter fans can turn up to Torquay United versus Hampden and Richmond. Paul, the Beavers. Of course, mighty Beavers. Mm. They're playing tomorrow.
Yeah,
they're playing really well actually at the moment. The Beavers.
So let's see if the football family, the hand of friendship.
I think I know how this bit's going to go. Let me be honest.
This may, fly in the face of all the evidence so far, because joining us now from the My New Football Club podcast, David Earl and John Beer, both died in the war these days. Exeter City.
Oh yeah,
fans.
David loves Exeter City.
David, John, good afternoon.
Hello,
good
Paul.
Afternoon.
Yeah.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello.
So I mean, you're fairly, the whole My New Football Club podcast was you moving down to that part of the world, David, because you were normally a Manchester United fan and embracing Exeter becoming a fan. So how are you feeling about Torquay's issues at the moment? What's your feeling?
I don't know if I'm feeling anything really, Paul. Just apathy.
Just numb.
Just numb to it. Just numb to the Torquay United.
So genuinely, I'm going dry slope skiing tomorrow.
And you're not going to Devon Day. What a shame.
No, I will come. I will come.
John's the one to ask. John Beer.
Well, John's a
died
long,
in the war.
Long serving
Exodus.
John, have you
commentates
taken
on the club everything?
Yeah. Have you taken any? Has there been a bit of Schadenfreude with what's happened to Torquay, or you had a little tear in your eye now and again?
No, I can actually sympathise with Torquay fans. You know, all Devon clubs have been there now in that situation where we've been in financial peril. I think Plymouth a few seasons ago, us about 20 years ago. So I can really sympathise. I spoke to a lot of people around the club since the news has come out about Torquay, about the struggles that people really had with the fact that they might not have a football team to support. And although me and Charlie have a few back and forths here and there about Torquay's failures and other things like that, maybe on the pitch, I'd never ever want to see anything happen to them, like disappear or anything like that. I would, football's always better for rivalries and things like that. So I hope the situation is sorted soon.
And annoyingly, and it does stick in my throat, and David probably likes Exeter City because of this, they are such a well-run club these days. They're absolutely the model that all non-league and struggling clubs should follow.
Well, fan-owned,
in the fact
they're
fan-owned.
Successfully
but also,
fan-owned.
Also managed to generate money by selling their players and all those sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Beautifully owned, you know, are happy in their ground, it seems to be, get enough. It's an annoyingly well-run club, is what I'm saying. That's probably what attracted David to it in the first place, unless it was just his closest club, which would be an absolutely stupid reason to support any football team.
No, it's a quick drive up the A38. It's quite... I went to Plymouth recently.
Oh, nice.
John hated.
Yeah.
I watched Plymouth v Leeds.
Yeah, was it really good?
Yeah.
I was very disappointed. Big betrayal of my trust there.
Yeah. I mean, you've not been an Exeter fan for long, David.
Not long enough to go to Plymouth on
maybe not long enough for people to judge you if you now change your mind and thought, actually,
yeah, you could change
I think
your mind.
I prefer Plymouth.
Why don't you change your mind?
Well, do you know what, Paul? The next day, I was laying in bed with my wife on a Sunday morning, and I said, I can support who I like when I like. It suddenly dawned on me.
Yeah. We've had this discussion now. I don't think you really understand what it is to be a proper football fan. And John, you agree, don't you, John?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I've told him numerous times, if you're going to pick a side, pick one. He's gone from Man United to Exeter to Plymouth. God knows who he's going to go to next. It does my head in.
Yeah.
I really recommend it.
It's like a Man United reserve team's career, that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Exeter. I was just... Someone said, do you want to come and watch Plymouth against Leeds? Because Exeter are away. And I thought, I'd love to. And I went into the Plymouth boardroom.
Wow.
And had a cake.
Had a cake? Oh, you'd be more specific. Can you remember what kind of cake it was?
Yeah, they've changed.
It was like one of those sort of sweet, sugary hamburgers. Do you know the one I mean?
Oh,
the
macaroons, aren't they? Is that what they are?
Something like that.
Macaron.
Oh, macaron.
Is it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a macaron or a macaroon?
They've changed in Plymouth, haven't they? God, it used to be awful down there.
Did it?
Yeah, dreadful.
See, there should be a two-way street, Charlie. They're all being nice about you, their fans.
It's patronise. The trouble is, you can't get away from the fact that you feel like you've got the begging bowl out, which we have, but you just feel like you're being bowled. We'll come and pat you on the head tomorrow, little talky. Well done, playing football. Yeah. Well done. Have some money.
You can't have it both ways, Charlie.
I know, it's annoying, isn't it? I want to be calling them Tim Pot. Tell them how rubbish they are. Tell them how much I hate them. It's all I want to be able to do, which I will continue to do. And I reserve my right to call any team Tim
Even
Pot.
If they're giving you cash.
Oh.
You may have just put people off. There may have been some Exeter and Plymouth
fans. Don't go to it.
Charlie, don't say that.
Only go if you support Torquay. Don't go if you support any other team.
You need the money,
Charlie. Patronising rubbish. I've gone off the idea.
I'm sure Torquay United were thinking it'd be great. Charlie will go on TalkSport and he'll really big up our Devon Day tomorrow. You've put people off.
I went to Devon Day at the Devon Exeter Racecourse once and they had Shire Horse racing.
Wow.
I don't know what else they were going to do on Devon Day, you know.
Were there bigger jockeys or was everything pro?
No, everything was normal proportions.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Are you really going dry slope skiing tomorrow, David?
No.
I just wondered if you
Which
were.
One were you going to go to? The one in Plymouth, just next to the
Sainsbury's? Yeah, Plymouth again, yeah.
Do you go there now and again? Or is that something,
do you pretend you're going dry slope skiing so John doesn't think you'll know you're going to Argyle?
Yeah, that's it. I've got another
Charlie,
club.
You lost to Tunbridge last week, is that right?
Yeah, we lost 4-1 to Tunbridge Angels, yeah.
My ex, my old village cricket captain played for Tunbridge. I can't get my head round your team lost to
this
team.
This is the sort of thing you get. It's patronising,
yeah.
Why are we doing this feature?
Well, it was your idea. You said get them on.
It's a dreadful idea.
You said get them on and get all the
excellent. The only reason I want them on is their podcast. Is absolutely excellent.
It is very good.
Absolutely excellent. They have really interesting guests. They're both really good. John Beer is this future star.
Yeah.
Someone should sign him up somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
And David's fine. And then he doesn't understand what it takes to be a football fan. And that is one of the. It's a brilliant, brilliant idea for a podcast.
It's a man becoming a fan. Developing.
And I like now that he said, "Well, I can support who I want."
Last time we spoke, though, Dave, on the show, you were telling us that there was a gang of sort of old, long-serving Exeter fans.
Oh, yes.
Where you go to the game, and they would occasionally pass sweets round.
Oh, yeah.
And at that stage, you were not being offered a sweet. You hadn't gone into the inner sanctum. This was about sort of 6-8 months ago. Has anything changed?
Honestly, Paul, I haven't. Now, I'm not trying to sound special here, but I haven't sat in the cold seats for about 2 months.
Wow, you've gone corporate.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it, does he? He just doesn't get it.
He's got an invite to the big table in the Heritage Lounge, and he's lapping it up.
He's
loves
tasted
it.
The Argyle macarons, and he cannot move on from it. He cannot move on.
One whiff of an Argyle macaron. Yeah, what about that?
Blimmin' Argyle fans turning up for Devon Day, bringing their macarons.
Coming down here
with your macarons, standing on the pop side, patronising us in your flipping Evening Herald shirts.
Yes.
This is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life.
This has not gone the way it should have done. This was going to be a call to arms for everybody down the West Country to get behind Torquay, and you've ruined
it. Go and see it. But I'll tell you what, go and see it and sit in the away end.
Yeah.
Sit with the Hampton.
Tomorrow could go horribly, couldn't it?
No, it's going to.
After this, there'll be nobody there.
Do go. Spend the money, but sit in the Hampton and Richmond end if you're Exeter or Plymouth. Don't patronise the Torquay fans.
Right. Yeah. People should go, seriously, though.
Yeah. Sure.
Jokes aside, like, it's a horrible place to be as a football fan. I'm lucky enough to have lived through, like, a golden era of Exeter City, like Charlie said, really well run. But the era before that was horrible. Yeah. And, you know, I spoke to my dad just before coming on, and he sort of gave me a little bit of a taste of what it's like for a football club to nearly go out of business. So if you have got the opportunity and you're in the area, please do go.
See, that's why John's really
nice. Well done, John. That's good. You did the job that Charlie should have done there. And David, do you ever run into Adrian Edmondson when you're in the corporate trough? Adrian's at the top table, isn't he, of course, at the club?
The mayor of Exeter, when you sat next to him or her?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, I sit on a table with some important people, actually, as it goes.
I'm sure you do. He's changed, isn't he?
2 months in.
My new corporate football club. Fantastic. It's great, isn't it?
God. My new prawn sandwich brigade.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to have to change the title of it. Yeah, me.
Honestly, it feels really lovely.
Yeah. Dreadful. At least he's honest. At least he's honest
about
it.
I'm pleased you're not going Devon Day.
He's not trying to get any credibility as a football fan. No. David, good to talk to you. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
We called your latest edition My New Football Club. It is a great listen. Go and check it out, as is Chatterbix, of course, that David does with Joe Wilkinson. We'll catch up with you both soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys. Yeah,
thank you very much.
There we are. David Earl there and John Beer.
Did I do a good job of the PR?
I think secretly the people at Torquay would be delighted. They'd be delighted with the big sales job did there.
With the national platform I gave it.
Don't bother going the away end. You're patronising.
Going the away end, that's all right. That's good advice.
That's good advice. So you can actually pay your money, but berate Torquay, which
exactly,
is what you
that's what you want to do. I see the logic.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Birthday spread, 10 birthdays, a joke attached to each one by Andy Jacobs. Myself and Charlie have got to guess how old these people are. If you've never listened to the show on a Thursday before, only listen on a Friday for the clips, apologies. Yeah. You'll get the hang of it very quickly. The one with the shortest margin of error is the winner. TalkSport listeners, as always, tell us how you're getting on. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, boys. And I see Guy Garvey was on the show.
He was, yeah.
Very good of Ruben. He waits till I'm not on. Then he brings the celebrities in. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Well, unfortunately, our assistant producer Ruben doesn't have control over which day Elbow's album comes out. He's powerful, but he's not that powerful. That's why Guy came in today. So, Jeff Peters, of course, be keeping score. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Very good afternoon to you.
Oh, not in the nerve centre, back in the Boris Becker Memorial cupboard, by the sound of it again. Yes,
I think the score is 4-4, and 4-4. Paul won the previous time. Now I'm away from the usual nerve centre, and after the success of Rufus scoring at Cheltenham, I didn't think I'd be required. Yet.
Oh, yeah. What carnage that was!
It's no good.
What a sad indictment of the maths teachers in private schools of this country.
You don't have to have a proper degree to be a teacher in a private school.
Oh, okay.
So he could have had anyone teaching him.
Let's get underway then. Charlie won the T20 last week. He'll kick us off. Here's Pelé and Sergio Mendes.
Okay, a nice sporting one to get us underway this week. It's the rugby union player, Exeter Chiefs in England, Henry Slade.
Henry Slade.
And Henry's been presenting a pilot for one of those strange Channel 4 game shows where you have to touch the bottoms of a famous person's family to identify them. My one was the Brinks Mac gold robber, Kenneth Noy. Slade said to me, come on and feel the noise.
Oh, blimey. Okay.
me, is it?
Yeah.
Henry Slade.
Yeah.
30.
32.
31.
Oh, a good start then for the boys. So quite easy to work at. No shoes and socks off for this one. What's the score, Jeff?
1-1.
1-1. Okay, fantastic. Second birthday. Back to
me. Former Olympic alpine ski racing champion, Ingemar Stenmark. He once forgot to empty his rubbish for 3 weeks. I couldn't believe the stench when I popped over. There was something rotten in the estate of Stenmark.
Oh, nice.
That's really good. Bit of culture.
Bit of culture, yeah.
Very cultural, yeah.
58.
61.
68.
Oh, wow. What about that? Well done, Charlie. So, Jeff, where does that leave us after two birthdays?
I need all my fingers for this one, for the print of Stenmark. So, oof. Paul, 10 out onto 11. Charlie, 7 out onto 8.
Okay, it's nip and tuck. Okay, back to Charlie as we alternate on these, of course, Skullduggery.
The fine actor and singer, Jimmy Nail. He's always been obsessed with planning the arrangements and details of his own funeral, but I'm hoping it's years away. I don't want to see Nail in the coffin.
Oh, okay. Jimmy, that's an interesting.
Ain't no doubt you boys will get this right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, doing his
toppers. He's lying.
Doing his toppers. Yeah.
I knew I sent them to him too early.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want nobody else. A good song, that.
You like that, do you?
He's lying.
He's lying. Yeah.
How old's Jimmy Nail?
Yeah, good question.
When was Boys from the Black Stuff? That was the 80s.
He wasn't in it, so it's not much point, is it?
No, Alfie's own bet.
Yeah.
70.
Do you know, he's got to be around that. I'm thinking he's probably older than you think, isn't he? 69.
70.
Oh, good work. Very good, Charlie. So he stays on 8, doesn't he, I would imagine, Jeff?
Yeah, Paul, that should have been you going first, actually, on that one.
No.
Charlie kicked it off. It was the third birthday.
Don't try topping the rules as well, Jeff.
That was the third birthday.
That was the third birthday.
Don't you start, Andy.
Sorry.
Partly the first part. So it was right. And so Charlie stays on 8. What am I on, Jeff?
You're on 12.
12. Okay, fair enough. On to birthday 4. Which
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Yeah,
one of the finest women footballers of all time, Mia Hamm. I played in a celebrity rugby match for charity with her.
Yeah.
And she tried to tackle me, but I fended her off with a hand to her face. I had to palm a ham.
Beautiful. She 46.
I haven't got a clue who she is, so I will just say 47.
52.
It worked out well for you, yeah. I couldn't remember how old she was when she stopped playing, but yeah, legend of the game. So, Jeff, where are we at?
Paul, 6 out onto 18. Charlie, 5 out onto 13.
13. Ooh. Okay, don't forget TalkSport listeners. TalkSport.com. Text 81089, tweet TSH and J. Interesting how you're getting on at half time, because there's still one more birthday before half time. Charlie leads us off.
Okay, Charlie, this person has got a very long title, but I'll read it all out. Okay. It's Baroness Helena Morrissey. She's the chairwoman of Fidelis Insurance Group, Altum Group, AJ Bell from 2022 to 23, and founder of the 30% Club, which campaigns for more women in top jobs. Baroness Helena Morrissey.
She's got A4 business card, is she? Blimey, imagine that.
Probably has. I've never seen anything like it.
Like one of those big checks you get given for charity.
Like that, the name of that. That Welsh town.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Railway station. Anyway, right, what is she? Yes. How old is she?
Well, she once confessed to feeling very despondent to former Liverpool manager Roy Evans and then immediately regretted it. Morrissey said, "Evans knows I'm miserable now."
Yeah. There we are.
I did wonder which one you were going to go for.
Yeah. What do you reckon? What was her name again? Guess. What does she do?
No,
don't do it.
No. Yeah. I think she's 64.
Yahoo.com. 64. 67.
58.
Charlie, you're in the box seat at half-time. I did Regals it. Where does that leave us then, Jeff, at half-time?
Paul, 9 out onto 27. Charlie, 6 out onto 19. There is a gap of 8 at the halfway stage. I've got a joke about Helena Morrissey. All you've got to do is ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me.
Okay, that's it. That's good. Yeah, that's
what's the joke coming?
Yeah, and, just remind us. Anyway, let us know how you're getting on. We'll bring you the best of those after the half. We'll have an orange now.
Heaven knows I'm miserable after Jeff's joke.
That's it. That's it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Birthday spread, and it's 27-19. Charlie finds himself in the league. Bobbin Arbroath is 30 at the halfway stage, and that was with ham sandwich between two direct hits. He's doing his own gags, old Bob. Thank you, Bob. Kirk in London, 50, garbage. I won't win with that. As Jeff was telling his joke, a load of tumbleweed blew past my window. There's no need for that, Gary. He's doing his best. He's not even in his nerve centre. He's out of his natural habitat. Okay, on to the second half then. Back to Pelé and Sergio Mendes.
Okay, and it's the drummer from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Carl Palmer. And he's so mad about cricket, he insisted on his hero, the record wicket taker in a single Ashes test, on performing in the band. For one night, it was Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Oh, it's very good. Wow, he's got
Cole Palmer.
He's got to be getting on,
Cole
doesn't
Palmer.
He? Cole Palmer. Can't be not that Cole Palmer.
Carl Palmer, not
Cole Palmer. Yeah. He's got to be late 70s, early 80s.
Plays the drums, does that. That celebration.
I'm going to go 80 blind 80. Yeah, I'm going to push it. Maybe I'm being unfair to Carl.
How old was he in that?
What are
84.
74.
Oh, sorry, Carl,
really?
If you're listening.
There we are.
We're going to start going, brain surgery. Not that old. So what's the scores, Jeff?
Paul, 6 out onto 33. Charlie, 10 out onto 29. 4 in it, 4 to go.
Here we go. Back to Charlie to lead us off.
Okay, it's the drummer and singer, Caroline Corr. I remember when I was minicabbing, I had to bring John Lydon to her house. I'll never forget taking Rotten to the Core.
I cannot believe, and I just can't think of anybody be worse minicab driver than Andy, by the way.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
Get out. Out. He'd be A, on that level, and B, just for the pure driving. Oh, dear. You take your life in your hands, you would. Right, so Charlie.
Who is it? Caroline Corr.
One of the Corrs, drummer, singer.
52.
53.
51.
Oh, Charlie's wow. You're playing very well today,
thank
Charlie.
You. Yeah, thank you.
So, scores, Jeff, at this stage?
It's 35-30. Charlie leads by 5.
Okay. Ooh,
very close, though.
It's very tight. It could go either way.
I can easily throw this away.
So, here we go. Birthday 8.
Okay, she's the ambassador and U.S. trade representative, Catherine Tai, T-A-I, Catherine Tai. Yeah. And she's hoping to conclude a trade deal for fish in the Arbroath region. We were up there when I showed her a herring being prepared. She asked me what it was. I said, it's just a kipper tie.
Oh, okay. Oh, and so just remind me what she does, Andy. God.
She's a U.S. trade representative and principal trade advisor.
Okay, 58.
Yeah,
it's
tough one,
isn't it? It is tough, yeah.
Out of nowhere, that, isn't it?
You could make a real bold statement here.
I'm not going to. 57.
Okay. Just nerdly, just plant, take it into the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
What's the score?
She's 50.
Ah, you see, he was right too. So, Jeff, what are the scores, Jeff?
Paul 8 on that. What did Charlie say?
He said 50. He said 57, one less than me, yeah.
So he's 7 out on that. He's on to 37, 6 in it, 2 to go.
Okay, so 6 in it.
37-43.
Yeah, nice. Okay, Charlie then, here we go, birthday 9.
Okay, number 9 is the SNP MP for Edinburgh South West, Joanna Cherry.
Okay.
And I've become a regular 10-pin player at our local alley with her. It's a family league, and now I don't seem to have time for anything else. Life's just a bowl with Cherry.
Honestly.
I agree.
Critiquing his own material. Yeah,
really.
And I get stick.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, Fair point, Jeff. Well,
I prefer Jeff's one myself.
Make a note of that.
Yeah. Trevor Cherry. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But there we what do you think, Charlie?
48.
Okay, I'm going to go 55.
He's in.
58. Well, it's good now.
Oh. Actually, that's not done me any favours, I don't think. Jeff, give us the scores as we go into the last birthday.
Yeah, Paul, 3 out on that, onto 46. Charlie, 10 out, onto 47.
Ooh, so that means... Yes, this is what you want to be. What brilliant play from Baker.
Tactically played, because I have to lead off for the 10th birthday as I have the shortest margin of error. But with only one, it's no real advantage. I've been stiffed, basically.
Not yet.
Here we go, then. Last birthday, Andy.
Okay, it's the conductor, Sir Roger Norrington. Sir Roger Norrington. And he's got his own eponymous rugby league team, the Norrington Wolves.
Oh, that's very good.
I like that.
Norrington.
Yeah, oh, wow.
That doesn't work, though.
Clue, Charlie, Sir Roger. Yeah, it doesn't.
Norrington Wolves doesn't work. Really rubbish.
I don't know. I'm going to go 90. Ooh. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing, Charlie. I've got one as a marker. I've got nothing to work with.
So what do I want to do?
Well, you want to go two either way. Yeah.
88.
Well, it's absolutely brilliant play from Paul. Roger Norrington is 90.
No! Oh, a sickener.
Good old Uncle
Roger. Absolute sickener.
Good old Uncle Roger. I haven't seen him for a couple of years.
Awful. Terrible game.
Thank you, Jeff.
Dreadful.
It's finished 46-49. Well done, Paul.
Oh, thank great you game. Much,
well done, Paul.
Thank you. Oh, Charlie, it's not lying.
Well, I know, but spot on the last one.
I think the listeners
were
looking forward for an eat it.
Yeah, I know, but it's nice that Andy gives you the last one early. Okay. So, you know the answer early, so you can really
thanks very much.
Do well. You know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's how it all unfolded. We are back tomorrow. No, you're back tomorrow.
You're back Monday. I'm back tomorrow. I think we're 10 till 1.
You're
10
Max?
Till 1. Me and Max tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
The game day warm up. Go get it.
Good.
Autobiography Wars, the rest.
And I'll see you on Tuesday.
See you Tuesday, Paul.
Brilliant. Okay. Do hope you can join us on Monday. It'll be a bit, I'm sure we'll be looking ahead to Wales, looking back on England. Myself and Andy, Danny Kelly with us. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.